Well, I don't know about you, but for me, Labor Day, in my mind, is kind of a jumping off point for fresh starts. It's not really New Year's, but it kind of is, especially for those who are in the school academic year. I mean, it's a fresh start for college football and for the Ravens to defend their title. And it's a fresh start for those who are going back to school. I want to talk about school this morning. You see, if you ever thought about it, there's an underlying assumption about school. And you know what it is? You're not omniscient. You are not God. You will not learn the meaning of life. You will not learn how to read, write, arithmetic by osmosis. You need help. Flies in the face. School itself, the institution all of us would believe in, flies in the face of, I don't need anybody. We may not like school, but without good teachers and a structure and someone else sharing learning, we won't grow. Think about it. You go to the doctor, you fully are assured and assume that that doctor went to school, or you wouldn't want him giving you a prescription or touching your body, right? Lawyers, we fully assume they've gone to school and they've passed a test that says they're worthy to be lawyers and spread their information. Engineers, mechanics, teachers. You see, underlying all this is, you know what? A desire to grow and a realization, I can't do it on my own. Why is it when it comes to spiritual matters, do we either get content that we just kind of know it all and we don't need anybody else? Or think that somehow some magic light bulb is going to go off and we're going to immediately know how to pray and face situations and understand God's will. It just doesn't happen. Paul's going to end this fantastic letter to the Philippians, inviting them in a roundabout way to go back to school, to become lifelong learners, that they may, in essence, fulfill the mandate of the book, which is to know Christ every day. In studying Philippians all summer, it's been amazingly practical. They're discouraged, there's division, there's challenges, there's depression, there's lack of funds, and there's lots going on. Same kinds of things that we deal with everyday life. And Paul continually has been telling them, look, God who is faithful, who began a good work on you, will complete it. He can take any situation and use it for good. We can know Christ who gave his life for us, who's alive today and gives us his spirit to live inside of us. Not that we've already arrived, but let's press on. The whole book is about knowing Christ. Well, today, he's going to say to them, I want you to enter into and enroll in the school of growing in Christ. It's funny, and let me just take a side note. It's a very interesting predicament that Paul's in today. You see, he's preaching a gospel of grace. You can know God by faith. You do not have to follow the law. What did his opponents say? His opponents say, what better way to line your pockets? Who's not going to love this? I don't have to follow the law. I don't have to do all the rules, and God will love me. This is great. Sure, hey, I'll give you some money. And they're accusing him of using this gospel of grace to line his pockets. So right off the bat, he made a rule. I'm not going to ask for money. I'm going to work with my own hands, tent make, so no one will accuse me of wanting to preach for money. It's the same way today. Preachers start talking about money and immediately light bulbs go off. This guy, he's got false motives. Well, what's the predicament? Epaphroditus comes with a financial gift. If he doesn't say thank you, he's seen as ungrateful. But all of a sudden, people are saying, look, you're just out for money. That's why you're preaching this gospel of grace. You're just out for money. So he saves it to the end of his letter to say, okay, listen, thank you for renewing your partnership with me, which is what it really says. Thank you for offering a service to Christ, not to me. Not that I needed your gift or was asking for it, but I want you to know I'm grateful for your worship and grateful for your partnership in the gospel. Well, in this tricky situation, he ends his letter trying to say thank you, but not really. We get amazing principles for walking with Christ and enrolling in the school of knowing Christ every day.
The first one. Paul says, Philippians,
I'm going to use the gift you've given me and my own present circumstances
to invite you to learn the secret of the gift of contentment. Look at verse 11 and 12. I'm not saying because I'm in need. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Have you learned the secret of being content in every situation? The Greek word self-sufficient, non-anxious presence. I've learned the gift of a non-anxious presence regardless of my outward circumstances. This is a huge challenge for us in America. Contentment does not come naturally. We live in a broken world, and quite frankly, we're looking for the next savior. Whether it's a higher financial reward at work, whether it's looking for that spouse that's going to fulfill all of our needs, whether it's having children, all good gifts, by the way, whether it's our football team winning week in and week out. You see, we're looking for this, and when we don't get them, we get off kilter. You see, we're constantly unsatisfied. Contentment is elusive. Even those of us who know Christ can easily be knocked off kilter, fly off in a rage, lose that sense of contentment in our own situations. As Oswald Chambers says, if you push the right buttons, if the circumstances don't go our way, we immediately revert to acting like pagans in a crisis. And what he means by that is like you would never know that we have a faith in a God who says he can provide for all our needs. We look like people who don't know God. Paul says he had to learn. He had to go to school to learn the secret of contentment. So let's not beat ourselves up. Paul says, I was right there with you. Someone preached something I didn't believe in, I'd kill them. Talk about flying off the handle. He was killing Christians because he didn't believe what they were saying. He had to learn the secret of being content, to not lose his non-anxious presence. Let me ask you this. Can you imagine your life free of anxiety and worry? Just bring to mind right now that which is knocking you off kilter even this morning. What is it? Robbing you of joy and peace and contentment. Is there anything? Yeah. You know what Paul's saying? You need to learn and go to school and enroll in the school of spiritual growth to learn that God is enough for right now. Now, how do we learn this secret of contentment? Come on, guys, have more faith. Pray harder. Muster up the energy and grit your teeth, and I'm not going to get upset this time when my spouse says that again. I'm just not going to get upset. No, because the second thing Paul says and invites the Philippians to learn is to access the power of Christ in daily life. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Who made this verse famous in the last 2 years? Tim Tebow, you got it. This was the one he put on his little, what do you call that? Eye black. And in the context, you think, hey, look, because of Christ, I can throw the winning touchdown. Because of Christ, I can become all who I want to be. I can achieve my goals. I can get into college. I can do great things. Is that what this text means? Maybe. Maybe. Absolutely, God empowers us to do great things. Absolutely. But you know, Tim Tebow was cut yesterday. He's no longer got a team to play for. And you know what? I bet it takes more of Christ's power to deal with the humility of not making a team and having to walk when the spotlights aren't on than it does to win the Super Bowl. And I actually think Tim Tebow knows that, quite frankly. You know what the text actually says? I've learned the secret of self-satisfaction because I'm united with the one who gives me the strength to abide. The context is, I'm united to one who gives me the strength for when things are going great to be not anxious, and when things are going poorly to be not anxious. Paul has learned the secret of tapping into the power of Christ in every situation. Let me tell you. This past Friday, a second day of school, we had what you would call a family meltdown. At some point in the context of I'll say 40 minutes, I think every member of the Drake family was in tears. It was one of those mornings. Shoes didn't fit because blisters from the day before. I got a meeting I got to run out the door. Kristen's got four classes to teach. It's chaos. Keating forgets something at school, her English assignment that you left. And it's crazy. Right before we left the door, I said, you know what? We're going to stop and we're going to pray. This is absolutely insane. We got crying. And we stopped and we prayed. And literally, there was a difference. We found shoes that fit. There was a peace that came into our family. We said, you know, we're going to trust Christ. I mean, I've been studying this passage all week. I'm like, I better start applying it right now. Lord, I need to learn. I'm telling you, Christ makes a difference in everyday life. How about you? How do we learn to access Christ's strength in the car when someone cuts us off? When we get fired? When we're going through relational challenges, when we can't see the future and we're literally thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. Do you remember what the disciples did for 3 years before Christ died? They hung out with Jesus. They watched him. They said, hey, will you teach us how to pray? Will you help us learn how to walk like you walk? How do we spend time with Christ? You see, you'll never access his power unless you know him, which is why Paul keeps saying, let's know Christ. And we know Christ, let me say a couple practical things, by watching people who've been walking with him for a long time. My father-in-law has been a Christian for 30 years. For the last 10, every Friday morning, he's been meeting with a single man who he helped lead to Christ and said, I will disciple you and spend time with you. And for 10 years, they meet and they read scripture. He's just sharing his life. If you've been a Christian for a while, we need you to help us young punks who don't know how to walk with Christ and access his power to help us. We need people to say, look, just as Paul did last chapter, last week, say, look at me as I follow Christ. We need each other. How have you learned to access Christ's power in life? Will you help me learn? It's why some of us take time each day to read scripture, to ask people to teach us how to pray. It's why some of us, you know, are reading books on prayer or on spiritual growth. It's why some of us are saying, I got to do Alpha. I want to learn more about this Christ. Some of us are saying, you know, that my first run at Bible study was tough, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to try it again. You see, it takes time to know Christ, and we need each other. It takes a community. It takes a village to learn to access Christ's power. It's not that Christ is sitting back there going, okay, if you just spend time with me, I'll give you my power. What he's saying is, look, your ways are not my ways. The power you think you need is not the kind of power I want to give. Get to know me, walk with me, ask me for my power, and I will give you my life. So it's not us saying, I'm going to get my own power. It's receiving the power of Christ. And it's learned. So first, we need to learn the secret of being content. That's knowing Christ. Secondly, we need to access God's power. It comes through knowing Christ and growing in him. And thirdly, let me just say this. Paul invites the Philippians to learn to discern God's perspective of life. To discern God's perspective of their lives. Look at verse 19. The translation you may have, says this. And my God will supply all of your needs according to Christ and his riches or whatnot. It's not actually what the Greek says. It's actually a prayer. And Paul says, may God supply for all of your needs according to his riches in Christ. Why is the difference? Why does it make such a difference? A few years ago, we moved to Baltimore, Maryland from Raleigh. To say it was a difficult transition would be an understatement. To say we did not necessarily have that non-anxious presence would be an absolute truth. For 6 months, our house did not sell. I'm traveling back and forth and living with my in-laws, whom I love. They're so gracious. Kids get out of school, they move up. We're living down there in Severna Park. We're traveling back and forth and we're saying, God, why are you not meeting our needs? Right? Clearly, our house hasn't sold in Raleigh. All our money's tied up in our house. We can't buy a house here. We're probably driving my in-laws crazy and we're gonna kill each other. Didn't you call us to Baltimore? Aren't you gonna provide? It says you're gonna meet all of our needs. Why haven't you right now? Well, when you slip it around and say, God, would you meet all of our needs? You know how God met our needs? Through my in-laws. You know why it was such a gift our house didn't sell? As Chris and I were talking about yesterday, my mother-in-law died a year after we got here. Our house didn't sell, and we got to live and spend more time with her in those 6 months than we ever have since Chris and I have gotten married. And if we had had God's discernment to say, wait a minute, there must be something else going on here, maybe we wouldn't have been so anxious and I wouldn't have been so cranky and shaking my fist at God because he hadn't provided a house in my time. Well, as we look back, we go, thank you for not selling the house. Because we got to spend more time with Nancy while she was here. Now again, he could have kept her alive, but she knew him, and I tell you, she wanted to go be with him, and she's with him now forever. And God knew that and gave us the gift. How do we learn to see our lives through God's perspective? How do we learn to discern God's will? Because right now it looks like God's abandoned me, and there's no way out, and he isn't supplying all my needs. The answer to that prayer is open palm saying, God, will you give me everything I need in Christ Jesus? May I seek first your kingdom and trust that you'll provide my power. Help me to see how my current circumstances are really for my best. When you look back and see how your current circumstances are redeemed for your best, it makes you fall in love with Christ. And it makes you sign up for another year of school. Because you realize he really does have our best interests at heart. We have to learn to discern and see our lives through Christ's lens. This is something Dee Dee Whitaker, I'm just going to call you out, Dee Dee, is amazing at. I'm always complaining about something in the church. I'm always not satisfied. Why isn't this? Why aren't I better at this? Whatever. And Dee Dee continually calls me back saying, do you have God's perspective on that situation? It's a great question, friends. Where do you need God's perspective on your current life? Paul wants us to learn the secret of gaining Christ's perspective. Let me sum up with this as I close. You matter to God. He knows where you live. He knows your situation. He's an amazing teacher. Jesus loves you and will teach you. He longs for you to sign up for the school of spiritual growth. To not stay satisfied with having a non-anxious presence. With trying to live your life on your own power and not on Christ. And with continually to be frustrated because you're looking at your life through your worldview and not through God's perspective. And he says, come. I can teach you contentment regardless of your circumstances. I can provide the power you need for a non-anxious presence more and more of the time. I can help you discern what's right in the circumstances you're in. This fall, will you sign up for the School of Spiritual Growth? You say, Lord, I want to learn more and more how to not be so anxious. I want to access your power in the crucible of the challenges and minutiae of life. And Lord, help me to see the bigger picture of what you're doing so I don't lose faith. God is enough. He can satisfy us in every situation. And Christ really does give us his perspective and strength. Paul learned this lesson, and Christ wants us to learn that lesson. Let's go to school, shall we? Amen.